Good morning and welcome to 5 Minutes of Faith. I'm the Reverend Megan King from St. Paul's United Church in Warkworth. This morning we're reading from the second letter of Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Today's readings speak to us about the challenge of keeping our faith in times of trouble. The author of the letter to Timothy, possibly the Apostle Paul, is encouraging his friend to stay strong in the midst of being ashamed of the punishment the imprisoned Paul is enduring, and even ashamed of the death of Jesus on the cross. Luke's Jesus is chiding his friends who want to find a miracle way to grow their faith, as if it were a plant that needed extra fertilizer, or a wall that needed some more bricks added to it. I'm reminded of the phrase I learned in the seminary which said, "Faith is a process, not a possession. It grows and moves. It does not stay still." And so there are certainly things that affect our faith. In the case of Timothy, he's been grappling with the challenge of living in a world which scorned and belittled those who have been abused. At that time and in that place, social hierarchies were based to a great extent on the dynamics of glory and shame. So even though the resurrection has changed that dynamic for Christians, there was still a strong social presence that said these things were disgraceful. Timothy, considering the abuse Paul has suffered for the faith, and which he himself might go through, is flagging. Even the triumphant rising of Jesus from death is caught in the social norms which said that death on the cross was something to be derided. And so Timothy's faith and his ability to lead are suffering. He embodies the terrors of public shame. The author of the letter, we'll assume it's Paul, reminds Timothy of the faith of Timothy's own mother Eunice, a Jewish woman who was deeply religious, and her mother Lois, also a woman of faith. They have nurtured him in faith all his life, and the letter, filled with compassion and hope, reminds him of this. In reminding Timothy of his family, Paul seeks to link Timothy to his ancestral roots in Judaism. He's also hoping that Timothy's faith will carry on for him, Paul, when he's gone. He encourages Timothy to guard the good treasure of his faith, to take care of it, to nurture it, and be a faithful steward. And not simply guard what he has, but kindle it, bring it to life, make it blaze. He encourages Timothy and us to stir up the gift of faith by praying and listening for the voice of God. Forgive as we have been forgiven and love as we have been loved. Stand firm in the face of public scorn and hold fast to the radical love of Christ in us. There's another crisis of faith happening in our reading from Luke. The disciples have just been told that if need be, they are called to forgive 70 times 7 times. No wonder they're feeling inadequate to the call. The reply that Jesus gives them is typically cryptic. He tells them that faith in its smallest quantity can perform miracles, and then in the next breath tells them that they should consider themselves no more than servants, some translations say slaves, in order to live their life clearly and their faith. What sort of message is this? If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could remove a mountain. Well, who would want to do such a silly thing anyway? It seems Jesus has turned the question of more faith on its side to reflect the real question at its heart. Not how much faith is enough, but what is faith for? Two very different ways of thinking about faith. Imagine Jesus with a smile on his face, saying, not in words of condemnation, "You don't even have faith the size of a mustard seed," but words of encouragement and love. "Look at you. You already have enough faith to do miracles. Just look to the one who created you." True miracles don't involve supernatural acts or overcoming nature's laws, but the ability to hold tight to the God for whom nothing is impossible. Jesus tells them, "You already have enough faith. Now fulfill its purpose. Go out there and live it." He also reminds them of the servant nature of their discipleship. They're to do what they do simply for the love of God in them, and not for reward. We must not read this piece of Paul's letter as any sort of endorsement for slavery. Paul was simply using an example that made sense to his readers. We are also called to live out our faith, nurtured by the love of those who guide and nurture us in the faith in easy and challenging times. We're also called to understand that the faith we have is plenty already, and all we need to do is go out and live it. Listen for God, listen for comfort and encouragement, and remember not only who we are, but whose we are. In God, all things are possible. This has been 5 Minutes of Faith with the Reverend Megan King. St. Paul's Warkworth, come in and have your answers questioned.